coronavirus special. Feels a bit weird, doesn't it? Feels a bit weird.
You're listening to Fancy a Brew Podcast with Aaron and Lucy. Email us on fancyabrewpod@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for Fancy a Brew Pod.
Hello and welcome to Fancy a Brew. My name is Lucy and I'm joined by my lovely pal Aaron.
Hello, nice to see you.
Hello. We are having an emergency podcast recording because the world has gone to shit. It's Aaron's birthday. It's my first Mother's Day. We're just going to have a little vent, I think. And
yeah, is it fancy a coronavirus? Fancy a quarantine? Yeah. Fancy a brewing That's quarantine? It. I don't know.
Well, I've got a beer. So
I've got a gin and bit of lemon. So
I've got some for that for the week.
Yeah. I mean, I've gone through about 6 bottles of Prosecco this week, and I've had a bottle of Prosecco this afternoon. So it's been an interesting week. So
yeah, I bet.
I mean, you're on maternity anyway, so you're technically you're used to this quarantine. You're used to.
I mean, you know, the first couple of months of parenthood, you are in a self-imposed quarantine anyway, because there is no way in hell you are getting out of the house. But it's a lot different when everybody else is doing it. And yes. When everybody else seems to have, you know, a lot of other people have lost work. And
their minds.
And their minds, 100%. I mean, you work for a shopping distributor, so you know all about this, the food side of things.
Oh my gosh, I cannot tell you how bonkers this week work has been. I mean, and I appreciate that this might sound a bit insensitive, and, you know, everybody's, I suppose, has got their work and all the rest of it, but I have not had, I mean, I've been stuck at home since, we were told to stay at home since the 12th of March. So
right, okay, bye.
I've not been to work since the 12th of March.
So that's 10 days today.
Yes, yes. And we keep putting plans in place, and then all sorts of different things keep getting in the way, and, you know, and it's been the busiest I have ever been at work, and I was busy at work.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but it's just plugging gaps everywhere because it's so busy. It's so busy. It's ridiculous. I just feel sorry for the, because I'm a manager, so I'm not the one picking people shopping. I'm not the one delivering it. I'm the one making the plans for how we're going to get this done. And I get this sorted. And my regional concentration is the US at the moment. So it's how we're going to sort out for our customers in the US. So it's stressful. Let's put it that way. It's very, very stressful.
Yeah, it sounds very stressful. Mm. I mean, a friend that I used to work with posted a screenshot of the queue for just getting into the website. And it was like 12,000. She was like 12,000th in the queue or something. And it just goes to show, doesn't it? Like, you know, some people, yes, might be stockpiling. But, you know, she just come back from being abroad and was having to self-isolate and couldn't get any food delivered because there was 12,000 more people in front of her in the queue.
It's, I mean, I had takeaway today. I've put on about 5 kilos this week. I could not stop eating.
Oh, shit.
I got fat in quarantine. The whole thing is mental. And I was supposed to be right now, instead of overlooking the apartments opposite mine with a haircut that's been needed for about 3 weeks, I was supposed to be on the Champs-Élysées or by the Sacré-Cœur with some foie gras or some red wine and cheese enjoying my birthday. Instead, I woke up and had a salted caramel cupcake this morning.
Happy birthday to you.
I don't know if it's I like the way you were like, copyright, you stopped.
You know what I was gonna do? I Evie and I were dancing to this the other day. Where is it? She absolutely loved it, and it made my day. So maybe I'll post the video. Maybe I did post the video on. She made me laugh loads. She tell you what, having a kid in this day and age, it's just makes life a lot better. But this is what we were dancing along to. Don't know if you can hear it. There you go.
Steve.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, this is high tech. This is high definition podcasting. This is my love.
we were having an absolute blast, and she was kicking her little legs up. It was great. It was really great.
Bless her.
But yeah, having a baby certainly makes you focus on the here and now. Kind of stops you thinking about all the shit as much as it can, anyway, until she goes to sleep on a night and then you're like, shit, what's happening? But we are sort of self-imposed, self-isolating in the way that, you know, I could walk to the shops, I could go for a walk if I wanted to, but I'm kind of choosing not to. And I think that's kind of the way that a lot of other people should be.
They should be like,
yeah, but they're not.
They're not. Should we have a bit of an update and then we'll talk full corona. Corona.
What's new with you?
In due time. Yeah. So
what's
Ireland.
Yes.
I went to Ireland. This is looking very good. Yes, Ireland. Can you tell we haven't prepped this before we spoke to each other?
Well, it's because we have talked about the fact that you went to Derry to see family.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought we'd talked about it on here, but obviously we haven't. So, tell me more.
Just before I went, I think. It was the weekend just before Ireland was amazing. I've never been to Ireland before, and I can't wait to go again, obviously, at the end of all this, whatever craziness we're in at the moment.
Absolutely.
So I flew out to Dublin on the Thursday morning. Decided to get the coach up to Derry, which is like a 4-hour coach. I thought, oh, it'd be nice to see the countryside and everything, you know, breathing all the Irish roots and all the rest of it. I forget that this is Ireland and it doesn't have the same time constraints that London has.
Okay.
So got to the bus stop, ran to the bus stop because I had like 5 minutes to get from the terminal to the bus stop because the plane landed like 30 minutes late. So I ran across Dublin Airport, got there. And of course, the bus was 35 minutes late because it's Ireland.
So you're like,
yeah. Yeah. The good thing about British Airways from London City Airport is free gin and tonic in standard class, just saying.
Oh my God, so you're wobbling to the bloody bus stop.
I was a bit fresh, as one might say. I was a little bit tipsy, running to get the bus. The bus is USB ports, so my worry about my battery dying on my phone was completely unfounded because charged it the whole way, 100% battery.
Fair.
Winding through all these roads in Ireland, it was absolutely beautiful. The scenery was amazing. It was better than when I came back because it was in the daytime. In the nighttime, obviously, you can't see as much. As we were pulling into Derry, literally going over the bridge, pulling into the bus station, Guardian popped up on my phone. First case of coronavirus confirmed in Northern Ireland. I was like, oh, for God's sake. obviously I'm half Irish, half Yorkshireman. So the stingiest person you'll know, yet the most generous person you'll know at the same time. So checked into the hotel, which was a 5-minute walk away from the coach station. It was a lovely hotel, just opened, a Holiday Inn Express. It was absolutely lovely. The morning after, I went to the Tesco's. There's a Tesco's across the road. Got myself a bit of some alcohol and some chocolate and, you know, the usual. Then had some dinner in the hotel. And I said dinner. Gastric band, so I had a portion of chips and managed half of them. The morning after, got up, the hotel, the bed was the biggest bed I've ever seen in a hotel in my life. It was like, it was bigger than a queen size. It was huge. It was like four beds together. I was just like, I didn't know where to sleep. It was amazing. Very nice. Oh, it was so good.
like right the, down the middle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just starfishing the whole night on my own. And my dad and my sister were flying into Derry Airport because they were coming from Liverpool. As I knew they were flying in at like 8:30 in the morning, so I thought, okay, I'll go downstairs. Breakfast is included in the hotel I paid for. I managed like a sausage and an egg and a mouthful of like mushrooms or something like that, and I was full. So I measured them both and said, right, it's self-serve. There's nobody watching. What do you want? Do you want sausage and bacon? Do you want sausage, bacon, and egg sandwiches? What do you want? I got my sister like a sausage and bacon and my dad a sausage, bacon, and egg and one had brown and one had red sauce. So that kind of set us up for the weekend.
Very nice.
Then I got to meet, my sister was like, do not tell, because it was all my cousins and I've got so many cousins, it's absurd. She was like, don't tell them because they get really annoyed that you didn't stay with them. You came all the way to Derry and you didn't stay with family. You chose to stay in a hotel. I was like, don't be silly. So she made a point of telling them, like, in front of me. And they were so offended. Like, that's all they would mention all weekend.
No.
I was like, thanks, Faye. But then they brought these things, these snowballs and all these, like, Irish, like, sweets, Northern Irish sweets. And they were really, really nice. I couldn't eat them all. And then we had Irish stew. Obviously, as we got there, because this is the kind of look I have in life, Storm Jorge was just arriving at the same time.
Yeah. Jorge popped round.
So we went to go see my granny's grave. So my father's parents, who both have died. My dad's dad died just as I was born. And my granny died maybe about 10 or 15 years ago. Maybe longer than that. Lovely woman, but I never really got to know her because, you know, my mum's a psychopath, but we'll talk about that another time. Because we've spoken about her enough. And I got to see the grave, but it was like it was all of the seasons in one. So it was sunny, but it was snowing and it was sleet and it was rain and it was snow all at the same time.
Sounds delightful.
My God, I was freezing my balls off. But I had this lovely picture of me and my sister at my grandparents' grave. And we came in and the guy was like, I'm sorry, we're closing. You're going to have to go. And my dad was like, I've just come. Right? My dad never gets angry. He's like, I've just come all the way from Yorkshire to see my parents' grave. I'm going up there. The guy was like, okay, that's fine. It was like that National Lampoon, you know, when he gets to the theme park and it's closed. I'm seeing my parents. So we went to see the grave. And then we decided we'd drive to the beach. Storm Jorge was still going on at this point,
he's
right?
He's like behind you.
Yeah, because I wanted to go to the...
Exactly.
So I wanted to go to the Republic. Because my friend Ronald, every time I'm like, I'm Irish, she's like, but how many times have you been to Ireland? I'm like, oh, fun. Because his family live in Venezuela. And... So technically, I went from the Republic to Ireland, so that's twice, to the Republic, back to Northern Ireland, back to the Republic. So technically, in the 3 days I was there, I'd been to Ireland 5 times.
Fuck off.
3 to the Republic and 2 to Northern Ireland. I mean, I did cross international borders several times.
Yes, that is absolute bollocks.
You
are holding on to that, man. Like,
I really am 100%. But I tell you what, I absolutely fucking loved Ireland. It was
nice, isn't it?
Oh my God.
It's so nice.
It's just so chilled out. Like, everybody's, the pace of life is just completely different.
It's so lovely.
I mean, you know, Dublin was amazing. Dublin was absolutely amazing. But then we went to the beach, we went to this place called Duncannon, which is the beach near Derry.
Okay.
But it's in the Republic. And we got there and they were like, do you want some, what kind of ice cream do you want? Do you want white or do you want pink and white? I was like, screw it. What the hell is pink and white? I've never heard of pink and white before. Yeah. It's like Mr. Whippy, but it's like white and pink, like raspberry.
Is it like strawberry or raspberry or something?
Yeah, it's like raspberry and vanilla, and it's really, really nice.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So when we got there, and it was per meter in euros, and I didn't have any euros on me because I had my euros bank account. And I was like to this guy in the street, and I was like, you know where? Do you know where the cash point is? He was like, oh, do you want euros or pounds? I was like, well, we're in the Republic, so euros. He was like, right, we're going to go to these two banks down there, which is really nice of him. But every time I went anywhere and I couldn't find anything, the Iceland in Northern Ireland don't sell alcohol.
No.
Just take a moment there. So I was wandering around Iceland in the shopping centre in Derry, and I went to the till and I was like, do you have any alcohol? And she was like, no, we don't have that in here. Well, the moment I said that, every single person in the shop, well, you want to go down this street, you want to go down that street, you go to the office over there, you go to the grill. I was like, God, everybody's so annoyingly helpful.
You don't get that in London, do you?
No, absolutely not. Well, at the moment you do, actually. Now everybody's in it together. So then the Sunday, so I went on the Thursday, I was there the Thursday night, the Friday night, the Saturday night, the Sunday morning I went back down to Dublin. Oh my God, Dublin is like amazing. I absolutely, absolutely loved Dublin. It's so expensive though.
Yeah, it is.
Oh my God.
We went for Jack's birthday in September. We arrived in Dublin, and then we went to Galway, and then we came back from Galway and stayed in Athlone, and then went back to Dublin for a night. And it's not cheap, is it? I was obviously not drinking because I was going ED at the time, but we went to a non-alcoholic bar in Dublin. It was called Virgin Mary. Yeah, okay. No, right. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And it was really busy for a place that didn't serve booze. And obviously, the Irish are well known for liking a bevy, aren't they? It was so cool. I had a little spritz thing. It was delish.
Yeah, I
You obviously did not do that.
No, I did, actually. I drank, of course. But on the Sunday, I'd booked a hotel, and I hadn't read any reviews. I'd just seen the price.
I saw you tweet about this, Instagram about this, or whatever it was. I need to know.
It was Instagramming. So I booked into this hotel, and I was like, this is different. Like, this is like stepping back in time. So they had no lift, so I had to, and there was a lot of bouncers in this hotel, and I was like, this is odd, okay. So I went up to my room, sat in my room, which was like going back to 1960, like big green leather chairs with a tiny TV on the wall. There was no any of these
This
chairs.
Room is not meant for any sort of telly watching then.
Like, the hallway smelled like stale alcohol.
Oh.
There were lots of pint glasses with like alcohol in it, and the room smelled a bit like stale fags and booze. And I was like,
very interesting.
Let me read the reviews about this place. I wonder what's going on here, because this is a bit odd. And I sat there and I read this review, and it was like, do not stay in this hotel. There are three nightclubs underneath it. And I was
right.
I was on the third floor, right? And there was a nightclub in the ground floor, the first floor, and the second floor. With no soundproofing in the hotel and no air conditioning, right?
Shit.
They were like, if you have an early flight, do not stay in this hotel because you will not be able to sleep. And they have a license until 5-6 o'clock in the morning. And then they replace all the beer cakes for an hour after that, right? I was like, fucking hell.
God.
And they were like, it opens at 4 o'clock. I checked in at 3, 4 o'clock. Poof, 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 poof. I was like, Are you actually taking the piss? And this is the start of it. So I went down to reception and said, I'd like to check out, please. And she was like, is anything wrong? I was like, yeah, this is a nightclub. This isn't a hotel. And you've got no soundproofing. Or we could move you to another floor. I was like, but you've got no soundproofing, so it's going to make no difference. She was like, yeah, you're right. I was like, so I'd just like to check out, please. That's fine. She was like, you won't get a refund. I was like, it's fine. I was like, I've made my decision. So I booked in another hotel. On Temple
Clearly
Bar.
That's not the first time that she's had that conversation.
Yeah. I mean, she was lovely. The reviews I'd read are like, the staff are really rude on reception when you mention this to them.
Right.
On the booking, it says there may be a little bit of noise, right? Cough, okay. A little bit of noise. My ass, a little bit of noise. I mean, it was 4 in the afternoon, it was thudding. So I booked into this beautiful hotel. It was absolutely beautiful. So it was down, is it Connolly Street where all the main shops are and all the buskers are?
Oh, Connolly Street.
Is it? I thought it was Connolly Street. Anyway, it was down that main row and there was a Marks and Spencer's on there. So I popped into Max's, got some stuff, which, can I just say, 3 times the amount of pounds, not even double the amount. The exchange rate is a little bit higher. So I booked into this hotel. The reception was beautiful, right? So got in there, booked into my hotel room. It was like, have you ever seen Labyrinth with David Bowie?
Yes, but a long time ago.
You know that scene with the baby in the stairs and he's like chasing the baby in the stairs and it's all like upside down?
So
bit like that. So you kind of had to go upstairs and downstairs and across this land, then up some stairs and down some stairs and across. It was like I was in Super Mario. It was like really weird.
You just jump up and grab some coins.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you had to it was like a 10-minute walk from the lift, but it was really nice. I mean, there was the bar was nicer than the room, but I'm not complaining because it's nice.
No.
And my friend Orla, who used to work at my radio station. She does a really successful podcast in Ireland called My Pod on Paper, which is about Love Island.
Okay.
It's like the number one podcast in Ireland, and it's
amazing.
They like do like live events and stuff. It's amazing. So I was like, oh, do you fancy meeting up? Cool. She was like, sorry, I'm in Paris that weekend. I was like, oh, fine, okay. So the only other person I knew there at that time was my friend Benny, who's from Rio. Now, there are so many Brazilians in Dublin. It's like the highest proportion of expats are Brazilians living in Dublin, which I didn't know.
Sorry, I didn't know that. Yeah.
No, so there are so many Brazilians in Dublin because the Irish government are trying to create a free trade agreement with, or some kind of business agreement with.
Okay.
You know, the thing we couldn't do because we were part of the European Union. Yeah,
of course,
funny that. So I met my friend Benny. He'd just flown back from Rio the night before. I was like, if you want to meet up, it's fine. If you don't, it's fine as well. All the rest of it. It's like, no. I'll take you out into Dublin. So my tour guide was a Brazilian Dubliner. Right? So we went down Temple Row. We went to all the gay bars in Dublin, which were really, really nice. He took a picture of me outside Temple Bar. He was like, this is the bar you need to take a picture in front of. And I was like, what is this place? And then as I put that picture in, everyone's like, oh my God, the famous Temple Bar. Oh my God, I've had so many pictures taken. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's why I'm here.
Yeah, I'm the Temple
Bar. And then we went to a Latino gay, it wasn't gay, but it was like a mixed club night, because you know how relaxed Latinos are about gays. So we went in there. And, oh, where was it? It was in the hotel I've just checked out of.
Right?
Oh, you're joking! He was like, oh, it's just around the corner.
It's just around the corner. This place looks familiar.
It's just around that corner. I was like, if this is at the hotel that I've just checked out of, that will be a sweet little irony of my stupidity. So, yeah, it was in the hotel. I could see my room from the nightclub. I was like, I'm so glad I didn't stay. So we were dancing away, Despacito, all this, you know, a reggaeton and the rest of it. And he's like, I don't like this place. Let's go somewhere else. Let's go to this. There was like a gay Brazilian after party after this nightclub that was just like gay Brazilians. It was amazing. Amazing.
Aww.
It was
so,
yeah. And then obviously we enjoyed some KFC together. And then when he went home in the morning, he went back to get changed because he lives next to the airport. He ended up coming back and he was like, I'll be your tour guide of Ireland before you leave and get the flight back to London. I was like, this is surreal. Like, this Brazilian is like my tour guide of Dublin. I was like, yeah, why not? Absolutely. Yeah. So, he walked me all the way around town, the Brazilian bit of town. We walked into this phone shop. They're all Brazilians and, you know how lovely Brazilians are. They're so sweet. Yeah.
Get to the other side of Ireland.
Yeah, exactly. And then we walked up this hill and we got there and he said, oh, you'll really love this place. And it was the Garden of Remembrance, which was and I'd never heard of it before.
Yeah, and I think we did a tour when we were there and I feel like we may have gone by it.
Possibly. Anyway, we went there and it was lovely. It had like the Irish flag flowing and like this beautiful statue and they were like doing all the gardens and stuff. And I was like, they really keep this place really nice and clean and all the rest of it. And I had a few pictures taken there. And then I realized, I saw on the news the day after, Prince William and Kate were there the day after for like a delegation of the royal family. So that's where they spent all this time doing this garden.
They're like, guys, we better sort this place out. We've got royalty coming.
Exactly. And here I am, the Queen of England.
Here I am.
So long story short, I love Ireland and I want to live there. So I've decided...
I totally live there. Yeah, we had such a lovely time. I don't know if I told you about this. When one of the reasons for going, apart from the fact that Jack wanted to go, was that he is a massive Father Ted fan.
Of course he is.
Loves it, absolutely loves it. And obviously the program was filmed in Ireland, and you could go and do a sort of a Father Ted tour and go around like all the like the external landmarks that they go to in the series. So I booked tickets for us to go on his birthday. It was his 30th birthday as well, so like, big, you know, like, this is a big present. This is your exciting trip. And so we got to the meeting point and we were there and there was this other couple, Barbara and Roger, who were farmers from Shropshire. They were amazing. Nice. It was like his only holiday that he got to have. And he was also a big Father Ted fan. And he was, you know, chatting to Jack, sort of talking about how much they both love Father Ted and blah, blah, blah. And I was chatting to Barbara about Leeds because her daughter lives here because world is small. And she was, you know, we were just sort of waiting for the bus to come pick us up. We were there for an hour. No bus came. Rang the number for the tour operator thing. No answer. It's all really weird. And so we decided, because no one came, like you were saying, you know, people in Ireland just don't really want to turn up. So we thought either we've missed it or they'll come when they come. So we waited a bit longer and it was pretty clear that nothing was going to happen. So I was looking on Google Maps and you can just put in Father Ted parochial house on Google Maps and it will take you to the house. So we just drove there. We just drove to the house and we were like, Jack and I parked at the bottom of the drive. It's like this long, windy drive. And we parked at the bottom. And I said to Jack, oh, you just stand at the gate and I'll take some pictures of you. We'll get some photos and, like, at least, like, you've got to see it. And maybe we can just have a drive round. Like, the cliffs of Moher were too far away. So, like, we could go and do that. Or, you know, those are the other options. And then we were taking those photos. And I looked up and I saw Roger, farmer mate, driving up to the top of the drive, parking up behind the parochial house, getting out, just walk straight into the house like he lived there. And we were like, what's going on here? Do you think we should go up? And they were in the house for a good like 20 minutes. So we were like, oh yeah, okay. So we just walked up and we were like, oh my, if anything, I'll take a picture of you by the front door. That's fine. And then they came out and they were like, oh, you're here. We were like, yeah, we found it. I obviously, I'm terrible at directions. So we were there a bit after they were. And they were like, come in, come in. And they'd made friends with the woman who owns the house.
Of course they had. Like, of course they had.
It was incredible. It was like a woman and her family. It's a farm. So they like they run it as a farm. And they have like the Farm of Ted tourist bit as like a little side business.
Okay.
So we went into the house. The lady who owns it made us a cup of tea and gave us some cake. And she had all these Father Ted like fancy dress outfits and these placards with like Father Ted catchphrases on and stuff.
Oh.
It was amazing. And so have you seen the episode where Bishop Brennan kicks him up the arse? Or he kicks Bishop Brennan, I don't even know. Anyway, there is a storyline where Ted there is an ass kicking, anyway. And so there is a picture of Jack dressed in a bishop's outfit.
Of course.
Yeah, being, like, kicked, in quotation marks, by Roger.
Nice.
Oh, tell you what. If I didn't have photographic evidence that it happened, I would not believe that it happened. Because it was the most bonkers day. Jack was like having the best day of his life. It was just like All these pictures of him, you know, like all the props, and there's some photos of like all the cast and stuff at the house. And there was a lady there who was an extra. She was one of the lovely girls. And she was in a few episodes, and you know, she talked about how like at the time when they were making it, there was no like real jobs in that area of Ireland. It was, you know, there was not a lot going on, so she was like, we did that instead of being on the dole, and it was like, it was so much fun. And you know, like
it's every a shame time he died, isn't it?
It is a real shame. Yeah, but it was amazing. It was such a lot of fun. And there's a picture of me and Jack and Roger and Barbara standing outside.
How random is that? I just love how warm people are. Like,
it was just amazing. It was so, like, so nice.
See, when I was growing up, you didn't lock your doors. I know, God, I'm sounding really old now. But up until maybe the last 5 years or so, my parents never locked their doors. I mean, I assume they do now because they were robbed a few years ago. But we got there and like my dad was like knocking on the door and knocking on the door. And then my cousin's husband just walked up and he went, why are you not just going in? Just walk in. And my dad was like, can we do that? And he was like, yeah, just walk in.
Yeah.
She's in there waiting for you. And we walked in and she was like, why did you not just come in? Why are you knocking on the door? I was like, okay.
I know.
Ireland's just got like a completely different chilled out vibe about it. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I can imagine Dublin might get quite stressful at times, but comparable to London, I mean, there's only 500,000 people that live there. So you know, there's as many people in the borough of London that I live in.
Yeah,
but still, it's a beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. Everyone's so lovely. There was a real just nice vibes, and if we could have spent longer there, I definitely think we would have. In Galway, there was an amazing pizza place called Doughboys, and if you ever find yourself there, I would, even though I know you can't eat more than like,
I know you realise as you've said, I would, it, that Erin can't eat pizza. I can smell
it. It's a public service announcement. It's hands down the best pizza I've ever had in my life. So if you go and I'm there, I'll let you sniff my pizza.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sniff my pizza. Wow. Don't tell your husband.
That sounds so bad. As soon as I said it, I was like, oh, shit.
I'd love to sniff pizza. I'd love it.
You've not done that for a long time.
Hey, it's been a while. I can tell you that. I mean, in quarantine, look at me. I've got bad hair. Oh God. Can we also talk about the public service announcement that the Gay World Cup has been cancelled?
My brother is devastated.
I bet. Oh my god. Yeah, I forgot your brother in Eurovision. Oh my god. I bet he is like clutching his gear pills.
Hello. I was FaceTiming my mum earlier.
I can imagine he gasped.
And he was like, and he was there, and I was like, how are you doing, Jack? Because obviously all of his college is cancelled. All the youth theatre stuff that he does is gone. And do you know what he said? I find this absolutely insane. He's done nothing. Like, he's had nothing to do. I'm knackered. I'm so knackered. I was like, what are you even talking about? You don't know what that feels like, mate.
Yeah. Just you wait. You'll know what knackered feels like.
Just you wait. It's just mad. It's all.
I mean, I'm disappointed about the Gale World Cup. It's upset me. It's upset me.
Okay.
So let's talk about the virus in the room, not the elephant.
Yeah, the virus in the room. Yeah, it's shit.
I think that's fair to say.
That sums it up, doesn't it? That's in a nice, neat little package. It's proper shit. Jack has lost quite a lot of work. Lost the majority of his work as a result of it because he works in sports. Yeah. And the other half of his work came from bookies, and obviously they're closed, so that, like, physical shops and stuff are closed, so the service that he worked on is still going, but they've had to move, like, staff shop like presenters and stuff onto the service that he worked on. So after tomorrow he doesn't have any shifts there booked in, but it will all change on a sort of weekly basis, and you know, we're trying to be positive and we're thinking about, you know, things could change. It could be that they introduce some sort of other measures. Freelancers and self-employed might get a bit better support from government, because quite frankly what they're offering at the moment is shit. And you know,
I mean, their whole response to this has been shit, but
it's not been great, has it? And you know, to think that, obviously I appreciate that it's a logistical nightmare trying to offer self-employed people the same as what you offer people on PAYE. Having said that, the freelancers and self-employed make up such a huge amount of the economy that they can't be ignored and can't be expected to just, you know, apply for universal credit. There's got to be more that can be done. It's
universal credit doesn't cover anything. It's terrible.
No, exactly. It's like 95 quid a week, which, I mean, you know, if that's all you're getting, is just not, it's not going to cover, wouldn't cover our mortgage, you know. So it's quite scary. We just gotta take it.
I suppose the only positive thing about all of this, and I'm not trying to belittle your situation, please don't take this as an offensive thing, is that everybody's in the same situation.
Well, that's
so they can't take everybody's houses from them. They can't take everybody's livelihoods from them. Like,
no, exactly.
The whole economy would collapse.
Yeah, but we were saying today that, you know, it would be a different thing if this wasn't happening and the work had just gone because they decided they didn't want him anymore, or they decided that they were changing the whole thing and 10 people are out of a job or something.
Yeah.
But it's not just him, it's not just us. There's plenty of other people in different industries, in different situations, all affected by it. And it's just, I think the sooner we are in a situation where everybody is having to self-isolate, or the vast majority of people are, and it is more stringent in terms of government guidelines, the quicker we can get back out and doing the work and things come back to normal. You know, I think that's the only way to get through it. And the thing that does keep me feeling slightly positive is seeing the good news and the nice things that people talk about on social media, rather than all the news reports of like empty shelves and people stockpiling and stuff like that, when it's just not necessary.
Yeah, you know? I agree with it. The whole thing is, I don't understand what I saw on the news, and I hate to generalize, but every time I see the North on the news, and I apologize It's like, well, the aunt told us not to go to pub, so we're going to go to pub, aren't we? And I was like, really? Really?
Well, it's funny you say that, because the report I saw was a bloke in London being like, everyone lives to go to the pub,
don't really?
They? Yeah. And you're like, shit, no, they don't. Like,
oh, maybe it's everywhere then. I'm not generalising, because that's the only bit of news that I've seen. I've been trying to avoid the news, because I'm like, it's all the same. Like,
it is. That's just, the problem.
Everybody's going to die. You're all going to die. But watch the news.
We sort of make a point of watching those daily briefing things.
How clear they are.
Oh my god, why can't Boris Johnson just say what he wants to say in a succinct short sentence without adding in words that you need a dictionary with you to understand what he's talking about? What's the point?
There's a lot of erms in it. It's like if Hugh Grant was doing this, there'd be a lot of erms. But I think even he would be more clear and concise in what he's saying.
There's nothing clear, is there? It's really difficult.
I mean, let's just go back one week. Just one week to Friday the 13th. Just one week to Friday the 13th when he was...
What a day.
He was like, what we have to accept is... a lot of you are going to die. Do you remember that? And you're like,
Absolutely awful. And then you hear it and you think, I can't do anything but laugh at that because it makes me feel so uncomfortable. But I don't.
When Donald Trump is seen as being more effective and giving more support to his people, you know something is wrong.
Can I just be trivial for one second?
Go ahead.
Why is it that every time we see Donald Trump, his face gets oranger, but his eyes get whiter? It's like he's been skiing. And I just don't get it.
He's been skiing in a place where the sun is only covered in watsits.
Well, that's it. Just roll in some watsits with goggles on. I don't understand.
He rolls in watsits with goggles on. That is possibly the greatest quote of this podcast. There we go. When you write up the what this is about, there you go. Yeah, that's what this one is to be called.
That's the episode is called.
So
it's just insane. I find it so bonkers.
I'm concerned about this whole situation, if I'm honest. But what's really interesting is I listen to, you know, the Times and the Sunday Times have got a brand new podcast.
Okay.
Which is, it's a bit like the Daily in America. They're trying to copy the New York Times Daily, and it's called Stories of Our Times, which sounds really Stories of Our Times.
Yeah, it sounds a bit like with me, Jenny Murray. Like it sounds a bit Woman's Hour, doesn't it?
Go on.
I was just gonna say that once when I was doing a recording when I worked in London. I said to somebody, oh, I've heard that Jenny Murray is not very nice. And she went, oh, she's one of my best friends.
I know the person who told you Jenny Murray wasn't a very nice person.
Yeah, exactly.
If only people could see who you're pointing at right now.
Open up and swallow me whole. It's awful.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Stories of our time.
Okay, so you say that, right? So I'm going to give you an example, right? I'm known for being awkward. I mean, you know me. I'm known for if there's something that's going to be said wrong or somebody's going to put the foot in the mouth in a social situation, it's going to be Aaron. It's going to be me. That's kind of my thing. Mm-hmm. So I was in my cousin's living room, Donna, right? Donna, my cousin, in her living room. We were sat and I was like talking to her and I was like, all these people from Northern Ireland have been adding me. And I was like, who's Zoe and who's like Naomi and who's all these other people, blah, 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 blah. And then it popped up on my phone and it was like, Donna Maguire, Ferguson Maguire has liked your picture. And I was like, who's Donna Maguire? And she was like, that would be me. You've just been sat eating my food. I was like, oh, sorry.
Oh,
my sister, right? Later on in the car, she went, you nearly went a whole weekend. A whole weekend without being awkward.
Oh, fake.
She's like, you just can't help yourself, can you? Like, Yeah. So yeah, back to Boris. Somebody unfriended me on Facebook, you know, because I posted this thing criticizing him.
Okay.
As a response of all these different countries and how our response has actually been one of the worst in the world, because of the way that we've responded to the whole outbreak. And she was like, I'm sick of you always being down on this government. They're doing their best. I'm going to unfriend you now. And I was like, all right, drama.
Be my guest.
Yeah. So I was like, delete the comment, delete the woman. And I was just like, I don't understand why you think it's not okay to criticize somebody for doing something bad. I mean, I get criticized all the time. It's a fact of life. I don't think he's doing a very good job. You know, I'm not going to dispute that. I am concerned about what's coming over the next few months, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I'm concerned that this is going to get worse before it gets better.
I think that's exactly what it will be like.
I mean, we're two weeks behind Italy now, aren't we? We've got the same amount of cases. Where Italy was 2 weeks ago, if you look on a week-by-week basis, we're exactly the same place that Italy was 2 weeks ago. So potentially in 2 weeks, we're going to have that problem that Italy's got, and all these people going to the pub, ignoring all these measures because they're not mandatory. It's ridiculous. It's like... it's absurd. It's like, don't jump off a cliff because you will die. Well, if there isn't a fence there, then I'm going to jump off the cliff because there's nothing stopping me jumping off the cliff. It's like, are you actually that stupid that you can't think for yourself?
Yeah.
And don't even get me started on toilet rolls. Do not even get me started on toilet. What is that all about?
It does not make you poo. It doesn't make you poo.
It doesn't. And if you need a thousand toilet rolls for 14 days, you need to see a doctor. That's all I'm saying.
Just mad. Absolutely mad.
I am trying to be like unpaid extra in a Roland Emmerich like disaster movie.
I said to I went to the dentist, we were talking about it, and I said to her, it feels like The Handmaid's Tale. It feels dystopian, and it feels like the supermarkets feel like on Handmaid's Tale, the store that they go to is called Loaves and Fishes, and there's always like one bottle of milk, four tins of tuna, you know, like in like a pyramid or whatever, and it feels like that, like that is all there is.
Yeah,
even though obviously that isn't the case here, but it looks that way when you go into the supermarket and you're like, it is desolate, there is nothing. And you're just like, I can appreciate that people are scared because supermarket staff can't restock the shelves quick enough.
We've got a tiny little Sainsbury's here.
Yeah.
And everybody in this complex is at home at the same time. So there's not usually like 5,000 to 10,000 people for this tiny little Sainsbury's. So they're tripling the amount of deliveries. It has taken me 12 days to get a box of eggs. 12 days.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Toilet rolls, don't even waste my life about that. Toilet rolls is a waste of my time, to be honest with you. But I have four toilet rolls. I live on my own. I don't really go through a lot. I'm not a woman. I don't go through like a lot of toilet rolls. I find it amazing that, you know, the things that you would actually need, they're not buying, like gin, Prosecco. No, I'm joking.
The essentials.
The essentials, exactly. Champagne.
Like champagne.
Lime for the gin and tonic.
Yeah, lemons. Bit of lemon.
But stuff like paracetamol. People's like, this is how bonkers the situation is. Wednesday morning, I watch the Sainsbury's. It opens at 7 in the morning. Usually there's about 4 or 5 people outside waiting for it to open, you know, when it opens at 7. They go in, they get their breakfast or their lunch or whatever, and they leave. This one girl was walking around with a boyfriend, right, as it opened, and she was getting all of the Lemsips off the shelf and putting them all in a trolley. And she was just getting everything, right, and putting it all in a trolley. And I turned to the store manager who was stood next to me looking at her, and I rolled my eyes so you could only see the whites of my eyes, and then carried on doing what I was doing. And they didn't have any protein. So I was like, okay, I'll get some sausages. There's some sausages there. I'll get some sausages instead. You know, it's still meat at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Came back. He was screaming at her about how selfish she was. She was crying because her mother was old and frail and she thought she was going to die of the coronavirus. Then her boyfriend joined in and started crying.
80 lem sips, though, does she?
Her boyfriend was crying. She was crying. The guy was screaming at her because she was hoarding everything. I was like, guys, it's 3 minutes past seven on a Wednesday.
Let's not do this.
Do you know how ridiculous the situation is? So I'm hoping people will start acting a bit more rationally in the weeks to come. But,
a couple of weeks ago, I went to this quite a big Sainsbury's actually, not far from us, and I went to get some formula milk for Edie.
Oh.
And that's super scary. So this time, this time it was fine. It was kind of before all this was really kicking off. There was a bit of, you know, murmurings, but so I got my. I always buy like a box a week, you know, to get through the following week. And there was a lady there putting out some of the other stuff. And I like to buy, you can get the pre-made bottles. And I always buy four little ones for when we go out for the day. You know,
just
in case she's hungry and we're out and about. And I don't, you know, make up a formula one. It's just easier. And I was asking her how many of the, when she was going to get the packs in of the four, because all there was individual ones. And she was looking on her little thing to tell me when the deliveries were coming in. But then as we were talking, a man came up and there was another brand of formula next to us. And he picked five tubs of formula up, just put them in his basket and walked off. And we just looked at each other like, is this even real? Like, what do you need five boxes of formula for at once? How many kids have you got? You've got quintuplets at home. Like, I just don't understand. You think, well, I'm going to buy one. I'm going to buy two because you don't want to run out. But all of this lack mentality of there isn't enough food on the shelves, there isn't enough produce out there, it makes you go a bit crazy because you think that there isn't going to be enough, and so your like survival instincts kick in.
Yeah,
it is. I'm sure they're not, but it almost feels a little bit like supermarkets are doing this so you'll go and spend more money. And it feels like
I can genuinely assure you working for a supermarket, that is not the case. The amount of conference calls I've been in this week.
Do you understand what I mean, though?
Yeah.
It feels like they cannot stock the shelves quick enough because people are coming in and buying all the stuff. So then the shelves are left empty in physical supermarkets. So that when you're in there and you're walking around, physical ones that you go walk around in, that you go in there and you think, well, I need to buy some chicken. There isn't any chicken, so I'm going to buy this. I'm going to buy mince, and there's only two packets of mince left, so actually I might buy both of them because I don't know when I'm going to get mince again. Do you know what I mean?
So then you end up being as bad as someone else. So I went into, just before you and I spoke tonight, I popped into Sainsbury's because I was like, I'm going to have some Cadbury Milk Dairy Nibbles, and I'm going to get a bottle of Prosecco because it's my birthday and I'm going to get more pissed than I need to because I'm homebound. And then I saw... And I've been looking for eggs for what, 9 days? I've been telling you, I've been trying to find eggs. And there'd loads of eggs on the shelf. And I was like, oh my God, I need to get these eggs. And then I saw they had protein in their meat, and they hadn't had any meat in there for quite some time. So I was like, okay, let me get this pack of beef mince and I'll take it with me. And then I was like, do you know what? I actually don't need that because I have some stuff in my freezer. Somebody else might really need that minced beef. So do you know what? I've got all the things I came in for. I don't need to unnecessarily buy things that I don't need. They had pasta sauces and they had pasta. It was like they actually, people have stopped being ridiculous. Did you see that statistic on the news today that in the last 2 weeks the British public have bought £1 billion worth of food that they haven't eaten?
It's insane. One thing I thought was really interesting was Ellie Pear, who's a food writer that I follow on Instagram, she posted what she does with food in terms of like shopping and knowing what she needs to buy and how that all works. So she advised that you take a stock take of everything that's in your fridge, in your freezer, and in your food cupboards, and then you can sort of work out from there what meals you can make with that stuff.
Yeah.
So like if you have some like bolognese that you've made and you've frozen it, obviously then you need pasta. Or you could have like rice with it, make it chili, or you know, something like that. And it was kind of like helping you see that you might think, oh well, I've already got a tin of peas and I've got some, I don't know, haggis in the freezer, which
I have got champagne and haggis.
That's the way they do it in Scotland. But we, what the fuck am I talking about?
No, it's Lambrini and haggis.
some Buckfast and some haggis.
Buckfast.
But the way that she was explaining it, so I did that. And it made me feel so much calmer about the whole situation, because I was like, well, I think we've got enough in for maybe like a week or so, but I'm not totally sure. But from doing that and writing everything down and working out what things we had and what I could make from what we'd got, actually, there's maybe like 2 or 3 weeks worth of food there.
I have so much food in the cupboard. That I was like, okay, well, I've got 3 big bags of rice that I've had for nearly a year, by the way. It's not like I've been hoarding that for ages. I have 2 packs of pasta. I have a pack of spaghetti. I have 4 pasta sauces in the fridge. I have 2 bags of cheese. Do you know what? If the worst comes to the worst, I have salmon in the freezer. I have peas. I have broccoli. Mm-hmm. I have all this stuff that I can just eat. Realistically, if I was to follow the portion sizes that I'm supposed to be following without being a fat greedy bitch that I'm being this week, I've probably got enough food to keep me going for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
To be honest. It's not that I'm worried about. It's like, I don't know, it's really like, it's weird, like, I think it's the psychology, like you say, of when you go in and the shelf is completely empty and you're like, oh my God, what do I need? And it's like ready, steady, cook. It's like, whatever you've got left. I need that goose fat, and I need, because in the Sainsbury's here, they've got a shelf full of goose fat and then the most random stuff like full fat milk. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't usually drink full fat milk, but maybe I need full fat milk because that's all they've got in there. So I've got like 3 2-pint cans in my fridge. To be fair, I do drink a lot of milk, so that'll be gone really, really quickly. But I'm like, I might just wait a week, and if it's not there, it's not there. Do you know what I mean? Like,
like you say, there's people out there who can't afford to stockpile, can't afford to buy.
And that's a bit that worries me.
That's the scary part.
These people who are on like food stamps and, you know, free school meals, and they're having to be at home, and do you know, like, it's just, you know, these kids that can't afford meals anyway and they're getting free school meals at school, how are they going to get fed at home? The whole thing is just, it's absurd. It's absolutely ridiculous. I hope it's brought the worst in people, to be honest with you. And as my therapist said to me the other day, 75% of the world is stupid. She's like, you'll get to see that only 25% of people have logic and actually follow rules. But it's that herd mentality. If one person says there's not enough toilet roll, then everybody thinks there's not enough toilet roll, so everybody starts to hoard it, you know.
Exactly.
But don't understand what they're doing. Like,
no.
Oh, anyway, let's end this, because we've been on the phone for more than an hour, you know, my love.
I know, can you believe it?
You know, we've been ranting about this for an hour.
I know. What's going on? I mean, right, it's very easy to do that, isn't it?
We haven't really spent enough time talking about your first Mother's Day. So you tell us a bit about your first Mother's Day before I'm going to something that we may or may not have learned.
Oh, good. It was. It's only 28. I've still got a couple of hours left of it. It has been really nice. I've got a lovely card that from Edie that Jack had helpfully helped write out.
Of course. And I mean, she's got great handwriting already.
Oh, she's got beautiful penmanship. Absolutely. shall I read it out? Because it made me laugh all loads.
Go on, then.
It says, to Mum, happy first Mother's Day. Thanks for doing such a brilliant job of looking after me. Thanks for all my milk. Thanks for washing my pits. And thanks for putting up with me when I'm grumpy. I promise I won't poo on your finger again. lots of love and milk and kisses, Edie Pops.
Nice.
So, yeah, she pooed on my finger once. That was, I mean, it made me laugh because she trumped at the same time when I was cleaning her. And it just was completely unexpected, but there was poo there. So I think, I said to Jack, there is not a day so far that I haven't had some kind of bodily fluid on my hand. And I think it'll be that way for the next God knows how long. And it's, I'm embracing it. But no, I got a lovely card. We're getting a takeaway for tea, which I'm very excited about. Yeah. And we are, Jack got me a voucher for a lovely cafe in West Yorkshire that I'm very excited to go and spend.
Nice.
Do very nice cakes and nice food and stuff, so that'd be really good. Yes. Can you believe, speaking of that, can you believe I got a notification on Instagram the other day that it was like a year since we went to Maison Bertie.
Really?
And saw that lady, yeah. A year since she popped up in the Observer Food magazine, like the day after or whatever it was.
Nice.
Amazing. But yeah, 19th of March. She was in that long served London thing. Can you believe it?
No.
Can you believe it?
And she was on Mary Berry as well, wasn't she?
She was on the Mary Berry. Oh my God, she got everywhere. It felt like she was following us. But no, it's been really nice. I got a bit of sleep in, and Edie slept. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? She slept from 10 p.m. till 8 a.m. Yes.
Wow.
It was just beautiful.
Shut the front door.
I know, right? And then Jack got up with her at 8, and I got an hour in bed to just chill out on my own. It was.
Nice. You've had sleep. Just this good. Is nice. You look more cohesive than you did last time we spoke.
Well, I listened back to that last one, and I apologise because I sounded like the dead.
Oh well, you're a mum. I don't remember. I was in a daze. So.
Oh, I sounded.
I was probably bitching about my mum. So.
Sounded so tired. I was listening back to it and I was like, what am I even on about? So if you listen to that one, thank you very much, because I was very sleepy.
What have you learned in this last month since I last saw you?
What have I learned? A few things. One thing that I've learned is that when your child laughs in her sleep, it's the creepiest sound known to man. She's in a little cot thing next to our bed at the moment, and the other night she started to laugh a little bit, which is beautiful.
Oh.
But the other night she did the biggest giggle in her sleep, and the room was dark, and it was genuinely creepy. We both shot up out of bed, me and Jack, and we were like, "What is that?" And she just lay there all peaceful, like snoozing away. It was quite sweet though, but also super creepy. I've also learned that people are, I think I learned this quite a lot, but you know, I need to remind myself of it, people are generally good, you know. So look who's come to join us. People are a bit mental, but there's been some lovely stuff going on. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Ada.
Hey. Jack's just popped her in. So hello. Hello.
Hello.
So what I've learned is that I've loved seeing all of the people who are. Sorry, I've got a child that's just having a wriggle. Let me start this again. What are you doing?
This is totally staying in, by the way. Just saying this. Right, if only people could see this. We might need to copy this snippet of the video.
Hello, yeah.
Oh, right, she's so beautiful. Hello.
How cute are you? We have learned that all of the lovely stuff, you know, on social media, all of the people who are like offering to help out elderly neighbours, go and do their shopping, go and pick up their mail, go and, you know, have a friendly chat on the phone, or, you know, just be like just nice people, and seeing local businesses pull together and offer deliveries and stuff. It's just been well nice.
Nice, it's been well nice.
Yeah, and obviously having this one helps. So.
Yeah, I love all the gurgling noises.
Yeah,
trying
now.
Oh,
hello.
Hiya. Look at a little snotty face. Oh, she's beautiful, isn't she?
Yeah. So, what have you learned?
What have I learned? I've learned that, and I say this a lot, people really can surprise you, and you don't really know who your friends are until you're in a bad situation. So, I've heard from people this week, because I live on my own, and I've, you know, I think a few people have felt sorry for me that I might be being a bit isolated, but yeah. I do live on my own, so I'm used to spending a lot of time on my own. So everybody I know is like, I'm stuck on my own with my family and my children and my husband and my wife, and I'm like, yeah, well, I spend a lot of time on my own. I'm used to it, guys. Yeah. The people who I haven't heard from like 10 or 15 years are sending me messages like, hope you're okay, hope you're all right, hope things are fine there with you, because you know I live on my own. So that's been quite nice. You don't know who cares about you or whose mind you come into in moments like this.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's it. It's nice to hear from people that, you know, you wouldn't normally hear from, or you wouldn't hear from as often. And it's nice to see that people are... You know, it is nodding her head.
Bobbing away. She's agreeing. She's like, yeah, Mum, yeah.
You're bang right, Mum. It's nice to hear from those people that you wouldn't normally hear from as often.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see people like having sort of virtual, like, cuppers with all their mates, you know, like video chatting everybody.
Like us with our virtual.
Yeah, our virtual exactly. That's it. And we're recording it for a podcast. But, you know, it's so lovely to see all that sort of stuff and to just see people, you know, getting together and having a chat and not being, you know, and not keeping themselves to themselves and not being, you know, they're sort of opening up and just, I just think it's lovely. I think that's...
Ironically, they're opening up in an isolated situation.
Exactly, yeah, of all the things. And it makes you wonder that it's taken something like this for people to, like, to sort of change their ways a little bit, but maybe that's what it needed to do.
I mean, Edie's clearly agreeing with us. That's all I can hear.
She agrees, absolutely.
She's loving
you're chatting away, aren't you? Yeah, chatting away.
So, bless her little face. I'm going to totally take a picture of this for the Instagram. If people want to get in touch, this is going to be fun because you always forget it. So, if they want to get in touch via the Instagram, what is it?
It's Fancy a Brew Pod.
Hey! Okay. Well done.
Yes, Edie. Well done.
Yeah, and it's at Aaron Trains or... at Lucy Duffield or at Little Leeds Kitchen or at Previously Fat.
We if need you to streamline those, don't we?
We do. We've got far too many. I've even created a new Instagram, but I'll tell you about that another time.
Interesting. Okay.
I haven't put anything on it yet. So at Fancy Your Brew Pod, get in touch. I know lots of you keep asking, messaging us both separately and together and on the Fancy Your Brew page, like, when are you going to create another one? Well, we've created two now, so
We'll
see you in a year's time. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, see you in 9 months.
When Edie's 18, that's when we're going to do the next pod.
That's it. You can count on it. You can absolutely count on it.
Absolutely. Right. So we will see you next time. Thank you for listening. And this is our hashtag, try not to freak out about coronavirus.
Indeed. That's the one. Thanks for listening.
Fancy a quarantine. That's what this one is.
Fancy a quarantini. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.